This morning, I would like to share with you on a topic of a promise fulfilled. We are people that often can promise or say things that we can do, but we all know that we fall short of fulfilling them at times, especially when it comes to our children. They remember everything. Once you said something when they're a little bit loud and you just wanted them to calm down for a moment, you promised them something. And in the moment, you probably did not put a lot of effort or thinking in that promise, but you just wanted the immediate outcome for them to be quiet. But they remember. And sometimes it can be months later. Mommy, daddy, you promised me. But we as parents even fall short in the promises to our children. But I want to talk about a father that never falls short of his promises. He's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whatever what he promises comes to truth. Whatever what he promised is not only truth, but comes to pass in our lives. Amen. Today, with millions of Christians around the world, we are celebrating the Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened more than 2,000 years ago. Before Jesus was crucified, he promised the disciples something. You see, during that time, when Jesus physically was walking with the disciples thought that this was it. They were planning to build a kingdom here on earth. They were a little bit confused about the cross. They did not fully understand the depth of what Jesus meant, that he has to go and die on a cross and on the third day resurrect from the dead and for our righteousness, and that he had to do that. That wasn't the plan of the Father to save humanity. And the minds of the disciples, they could not fully comprehend that truth. But before the cross, he promised his disciples. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 16 and 17 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide within you forever." You see, Jesus physically was with his disciples. And he knew there was going to come a time when he's going to be taken to the cross and resurrected and going back to his Father. But he says, but listen, I'm gonna give you a helper that he may abide within you, inside of you, by faith. When we come and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he enters into our life through the power of the Holy Spirit forever. Forever. We belong to him. We belong to him. Hallelujah. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. It's a promise. And before Jesus went to the cross, the disciples had to hold on to this truth dearly. Even when Jesus went to the cross and they killed him, crucified him, some of the disciples, they were upset, they were hurt, they were confused. Some even rejected that they even knew him, because fully they did not understand all the truth. But whenever when the resurrection, the third day came, Jesus began to remind them of the scriptures. I'm reminded of those disciples that were walking away from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus comes and joins them in the journey that they were going in discouragement, in pain and confusion. And the Bible says that he began to remind them and talk with them about the law, about the things that Moses has said all the way through the New Testament. He began to share the things that the prophets have been saying all along about what is to come. And the Bible says that whenever when their eyes were open in the moment of a meeting at the house, when they were breaking bread, they said, this is it. This is it. It came to fulfillment. And the Bible says that they came back from Emmaus. They came back to Jerusalem where the Lord commanded them to wait and stay there for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come. They came back to Jerusalem and they began to encourage the other disciples and remind them that whatever what he said is true. Whatever what he promised us, it's coming to fulfillment. And he began to encourage the others. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a fuzzy feeling. And it's a shame that a lot of things are happening in the world, and thanks to YouTube and thanks to the internet, a lot of good things are not getting out. And a lot of things that sometimes misrepresent God are getting out. And instead of God getting the glory, a lot of mockery can happen. Because somehow some people think that it's just an experience or a fuzzy feeling that we are to make a show of the Holy Spirit. But I think our general overseer said it best, Pastor Carter, that is here with us. The evidence when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, it's not how fuzzy we feel, but how transformed we are. It's a transformation that happens with inside out. It's not a division what happens with inside of us and we say that our lives doesn't matter. But it's transformation that truly happens inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. And that is coming outwardly the way me and you live. It's not an experience that we can travel for hours or fly to places. You can experience God at home. You can experience God in the car. You can experience God at the workplace. You can experience God this morning. You can experience God driving home and eating lunch, because God is everywhere. That's why the power of the Holy Spirit does not have limits, but dwells inside of us, and it's everywhere because we belong to Him. Praise be to God. The Holy Spirit is not a fuzzy feeling. Don't wait for those moments, as nice as they are, that sometimes we can react emotionally to when God is moving in our midst. A good example can be like this morning. We sense that God is moving among us, and we had to stop worship and begin to pray for those that are needing a breakthrough. It's a moment that we emotionally can respond the best we can to the moving of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot rely all the time on emotions. We must rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is God as three distinct persons in one divine essence. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. And by faith now, because He's not here in His physical body, because He descended back to heaven, now by faith, when we come to Him and we become born again, He comes and enters our body. And now, as Apostle Paul says, that you don't belong to yourself anymore, but you were bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid for our sins, and now no longer we can live for our flesh and for our own desires, but we live to please Him. And Him alone. And for that reason, we belong to Him, because He has sealed us through the cross and the work of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ascended to heaven, He did not leave His followers alone. But later, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit for a reason, to empower them to live this supernatural life. You see, all the things that God is calling me and you to live by His promises, by the work of God and by the Word of God, we cannot do it on our own. We will fail as much as we can try, as much as we can beat ourselves up, as much as we can try to please God in our own strength, in our own effort. That's not enough. And matter of fact is, it will never be enough. We come to Him by faith. By faith. And the ability that He gives us, He empowers us now, not only to preach the gospel, but also to live this life. What we preach, what we say, we are also to live it out through His power, the believers to be witnesses for Jesus. His disciples were never the same once they experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They began to share the gospel to Jerusalem, to the Greeks, to the Antioch, to the Cyprus and the other places in Galatia, and to the ends of the world. The gospel began to be preached. Why? Because something happened supernaturally with ordinary people. It doesn't mean that they did not have struggles. It doesn't mean that they were not having failures in life. It doesn't mean that they were not dealing with pride anymore or with issues that we might deal at a daily basis. But what it means is that we are overcomers now. We don't have to be defined by the things that come against us. But we can overcome all the things through the power that only can come from God, the supernatural power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can open up with me, the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1 and down. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord. How many were they? A few with one accord? Say it with me with confidence. It's amazing what happens when we all walk in unity, when we're all having the mindset of Christ. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with another tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. And there were dwellings in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred to the multitude, came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" Verse 10, the last portion of verse 10. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Certains and Arabs were hearing them speaking in their own tongues the wonderful works of God. What were they hearing? The wonderful works of God. See, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we will not fight and bite. We will not complain. We will not be grouchy people. But we will begin to speak the wonderful works of God. And David wrote many psalms about the wonderful works of God. And we can read them and be encouraged and continue to do that. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" What did they do? They mocked and said, "They're full of new wine." You see, when we are moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I think when we are talking about that we're going to be moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, our mind goes to chaos. No, the Bible says that He's a God of order. Order. When we come into the house of the Lord and there's a prophecy, when we come into the house of the Lord and the Holy Spirit is moving, the body will be edified. It's not going to bring division, but edification. And over here it says that some of them, they heard how God was magnified, how wonderful works of God people were proclaiming, but others, they were skeptical. They began to look around and they were saying, "Well, let's mock them because it seems like they're drunk. It seems like they've been drinking way too much wine, but it was early morning, but it seems like they're a little crazy out there." And now he says, verse 14, but Peter, and I want to stop here for a moment and I want to talk about Peter. This happened a little more than 50 days after Peter denied Christ. The Bible says that Peter was at a place where he did not fully understood all the things that Jesus was going through and being led to the cross. And there is a scripture that says that Peter began to follow Jesus at a distance. You see, there might be times in our life that we might not understand all the things that the Word of God says. We might not understand all the things that are going on in the spiritual realm. And it brings confusion. It brings a little bit of uncertainty in our hearts. And something can happen with us and we can relate to Peter. In one way or another, we can find ourselves following Christ at a distance, not fully immersed in the truth that He is sharing with us. And Peter did not understand the cross, and he's watching from the distance. He's following Jesus from the distance. But even in that moment, Jesus lifts His eyes up. And out of all the people around, He looks and sees whom? Peter. You see, even in the moments of disappointment, in the moments when we don't understand fully the work of God, the things that God is doing in our lives. When we're discouraged and we just wanna follow at a distance just to be safe. I don't wanna kind of be in the midst. I wanna be at the outskirts. But Jesus still sees us in His grace and His mercy, in His love and His kindness, because He wants to restore us. Isn't it amazing that He loves us? And now Jesus is commanding them, go to Jerusalem and wait. Because before the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, you were hiding, you denied me. You did all of these things, not fully understanding what the kingdom of God is all about. But when the power of the Holy Spirit is gonna come, you'll be empowered to live in boldness and share this gospel with boldness, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In different words, your words will have weight when you speak. It's not gonna be something that you're gonna try to change somebody's mind, but it's gonna be my Spirit through you as a vessel to speak hope to the hopeless, to give sight to the blind, to bring healing to those that are sick. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit through our lives. And now, 50 days plus later, Peter with the disciples finds himself in the upper room. And now the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Some of them are saying, man, they're speaking wonderful works of God. Others that are skeptical, they're saying, well, they're fools. They began to mock them. And in that moment, that Peter that 50 days ago was hiding for his life, following Jesus from the distance, as a result of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, from where did he have the boldness all of a sudden to raise his voice? And it was not that he was screaming because he lost control over his mind, but he raised his voice with boldness to begin to confront the things that were coming against the church of Jesus Christ. He began to speak something that was coming through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he began to speak this and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was written and spoken by the prophet Joel. And I want to read this now, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. And I want to stop here for a moment, because I'm going to read this scripture in the context a little bit later. And it's interesting how we as believers, we can pick and choose what scriptures is the last days, the beginning of the days, and what scripture it's in the past, that the work of the Holy Spirit long ceased. Listen, if the work of the Holy Spirit long ceases and there is no more miracles, there is no more wonders, God is not moving. Let me tell you straight up, my mom would have been dead more than 20 years ago because she had cancer and God supernaturally healed her. And I'm testifying that. And there's so many of you here that can testify the same thing, how God moved miraculously in His sovereign power to choose to say one thing here or another thing there. But He's still faithful and most powerful to do. I began to study these words, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. The last days includes all the days between Christ's first and second coming. And it's in another way we can say from now on. You see, somehow we can include only that that happened during the apostles' time and everything else is gone and ceased. No, but some commentaries are saying the best explanations to say from the time that Jesus came, from this time on, these things are gonna happen, then Jesus Christ is gonna come back to take us home. So what's gonna happen from that day on? That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall receive visions. Your old men shall see dreams. And in my manservant and my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall not be turned into darkness, shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it should come to pass, and this is what I want all of us to pay attention right here, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Since when we got so intelligent to separate these verses that we are saying in the same context that people can be saved till Jesus comes, but the work of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, prophecies and the gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased. It's in the same context. It's since Jesus came and until He's gonna come to take us home. From now on, all of the things will continue till He says it's over. Praise be to God. And we are living in these days that anytime we can be taken home. That anytime the trumpet can sound. But till then, He has promised us that He's gonna pour out His Holy Spirit upon our children. He's gonna pour out His Holy Spirit upon marriages. He's gonna pour out His Holy Spirit upon families. He's gonna pour out His Holy Spirit upon communities. Because we need His Holy Spirit. Without His Spirit, without the life that comes from God, is just words we're reading. It's just stories that we're sharing without power and transforming power that only can come from the throne of grace. I want to take you back 30 years ago when I was born in Ukraine and living in a village. Growing up, there was not an official church registered in our village because that was during Soviet Union, still when I was born. People were gathering in the homes and they were praying and worshiping the Lord. During my parents' time, they did not have loud music like we had today. They were praising the Lord quietly. My parents would share that they would put pillows in the windows so that way nobody can hear what is going on in the room. And people were on fire for the Lord. They did not know a lot of theology. Certain people only had the Bible. But one thing they've heard, whoever believes and calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And somehow there was a fire in their hearts to serve God, to give their lives to the Lord. And they were risking their lives gathering together. They're risking their families, marriages. They're risking to gather together. Many of them walked for miles to come and pray together. But I was born during the Soviet Union in the 90s, whenever Soviet Union broke apart, people were still in my village, they were still gathering in the homes because it takes finances, it takes a lot of effort to be able to build a church. And actually, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, they built an official church in my village. But till then, there was not an official registered church. It was an underground church. And I remember I was about 7, 6, 8 years old, and I would visit those churches. And I would visit when we would come in the living room. And when you come in and there is no AC, middle of the summer, there is no AC. You just walk in and the real aroma hits you. And you're just enjoying it. You don't know nothing else. You think that this is it. Now we became so intelligent that sometimes we have a hard time even giving a hug to a homeless person that maybe doesn't have enough. God forbid we get dirty. God forbid he's gonna somehow ruin our suit and our tie. God forbid we're gonna put him in our car because our car can get a little messy. The easiest thing in the day we live in is to give a few coins, but they're looking for a hug and love. And this is what we are, the Church of Jesus Christ, are to do that. And we cannot do this on our own. We have to have the Holy Spirit that gives us the grace and the power to do things that naturally we would push people away from. But I remember those moments that we would walk as little kids, late at night, we would go to these prayer meetings. God has blessed us with beautiful cars. God has blessed us with jobs. God has blessed us with finances. And we have every opportunity to come here on Wednesday night. And many of us, we have excuses why we don't show up. This is not a heavy word. This is just the reality that I'm sharing this morning. I remember a few weeks ago, talking with my wife. Our oldest daughter is part of the soccer game here in the community. And it began to rain. And I'm thinking, these people are gonna cancel the game. Do you think they canceled the game? Of course not. And we're showing up. I'm like, this is crazy. We're showing up, bunch of people. It's pouring rain. We look like crazy people out there. pouring rain. Everybody's so happy because their children are playing soccer. We are so willing to pay a price when it comes to the things of our family, of our children, of the flesh we can enjoy, and nothing is wrong with those things. But if we are not willing to pay a price to come into the house of the Lord to pray, if we're not willing to pay a price to come and to say, I want to be in the house of the Lord where people are praying. I want to go to those homes where people are broken, where there's mourning, where there's weeping, because the Bible says it's better to be there than in the house of those that are rejoicing. It's good to be in bold places. But this is, I'm just sharing how I grew up. Maybe you cannot relate to the story, but let me remind you, there are nations in this world to this day that are still living like that. Like that. But we would come and it was not a 5 minutes prayer. Nobody was sitting and turning the piano on to be able to encourage people to pray. People were thirsty. And I remember as a kid, yeah, well, I would come there and we had a desire seeing our parents, seeing the older generation pray, seeing young people pray. We had a desire in our hearts. I want that. And those moments, walking at night for a few miles, coming to a prayer meeting and just asking, God, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this was our prayer, fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we would go back home and we couldn't wait again to come back and gather together in the village with the kids and those that would come. And we would cry out again and pray again. And don't get me wrong, nobody applauds us. We're made fun of. There were not a whole lot of families that were saved in the village, but we were kicked. Sometimes sticks were thrown at us as kids because we were the crazy ones, because we followed Jesus Christ. But we knew that God has to help us to live this life in His power, in His might. And I remember when God filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit when I was about 7 or 8 years old. Don't tell me that the kids are too small to experience the presence of God. I pray for my children. I lay hands on my children that God will baptize them with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, even this morning, I had some serious talks with them because they got in trouble yesterday. But after that, we had to pray and ask the Holy Spirit come upon them and give them the power, give them the ability to obey, give them the ability to walk in obedience, not only to parents, but to you first and foremost. Because our children belong to the Lord, not to this world. If we can give the effort to stand in the rain at the soccer game, we can give more effort to infuse into their lives the spiritual truths of the Word of God and to fight for them to be in the kingdom of God. But it's amazing that there was such a thirst in my heart. And I even got convicted that God, did I lose that passion? Did I lose that desire? Did I lose that hunger for you? When nothing mattered, as a kid, I would run to a prayer meeting. Did we lose that first love that Apostle John is talking about in the book of Revelation? That we can do a lot of things. We can be so professional about things. But one thing we forget, the first love when we first came to Jesus Christ and He transformed our lives. He has filled us with the power of the Holy Spirit and to live for Him. You see, the people thought that they were crazy. And sometimes we don't want people to think that we're crazy and we want to fit in. But the Bible calls us out not to fit in with the world, but to stand in the world and shine the light of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. I remember stories from my older brothers when they were going to school because they were not engaging in all of the things that the Soviet Union were trying to impose on the children. Because they were not part of the party, they were punished. They were given bad grades. At moments, they were even beaten up physically by teachers and by students. My brothers would come home and my parents would just pray. We don't know what else to do, but we're gonna be praying. This is the life that my family lived through. I'm not telling you just stories from the books. I'm telling you stories that we went through when there was persecution. But let me tell you something. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, He gave us the ability to stand in the community where there was darkness, to stand where we were beating up, where people were beating up, on us, to stand when they failed on purpose, the grade, so we don't pass, so we don't graduate. We were able to stand by the mercies and grace of God, not because we were so wise, not because we're perfect. Our family is far from perfect, but we serve a perfect God. And I want to encourage you this morning that God can do the same for you, what He's done for me. And this is the testimony that I have lived through. And years later, in the 90s, when the Soviet Union fell apart, guess what? God has opened up the door to come into the building of the school, into the auditorium. And my dad organized, and my mom, they organized a crusade right in school. And they began to sing songs, and they began to preach the gospel, and kids and teachers were getting saved. The same ones that were ridiculed just a few years ago, because they were fighting for a party that was strong with the ideology against God. But let me tell you something, everything that is standing against the Lord will fall, will crack, and will be demolished. But one thing will stand and will stand forever, the Word of God. The truth that never changes, that is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I want to stand on this truth forever, forever and ever. Even when winds come against me, even when things might come against me, I want to stand on the truth of the Word of God. Because ultimately, this truth is getting attacked. But because of the Holy Spirit, and because we were seeking Him and praying when it was not easy, He had given us the ability to stand. And He had given us the abilities to come into the enemy's camp, right in the middle of the school in the auditorium, sing praises to the Lord, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I don't know about you, but that's a miracle. Because God chose to do that. You see, when it was hard, when there was a position, when we did not know what to pray, when we were so wounded, when we were disappointed, when we were hurting, the Bible reminds us that the Holy Spirit is also our helper. It's also our helper. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that is always there in our weakness to help us. We do not know what we are to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through the wordless groans. In different words, don't even speak words. Sometimes the deepest prayers that can come out of our hearts are the prayers that we cannot even utter. Are the prayers that is so deep in our hearts that we don't even know how to explain. But this one, God says that because of my Spirit that lives inside of you, the Spirit intercedes for you. And He cries out for you to me, and you're gonna make it because He is our helper. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In whose accordance? Our desires? No, He intercedes in accordance to whose will? To the will of God. What He means is that God is sovereign. He knows it all. He knows the best. And when we don't know what to pray for, He prays for us, because His thoughts are good towards us. His desires are for good, not to harm us, but to build us up, to encourage us, and to make us more like Him. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. In the moments where we do not know what to do, He is our teacher. John chapter 14, 26 says this, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He is our teacher. In the moments when we go blank, in the moment when we don't know what to think, He will bring to remembrance the things that He has taught us. And let me tell you, I have stories like that as well, especially from my grandfather. For my parents, whenever when there was obstacles that were coming against them during the persecution, the Holy Spirit would give them supernatural wisdom to say words to the KGB, to say words to the enemies that were out there to get them and to imprison them. And those words were so profound, and God would give them escape from every situation. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit is also teaches us what to say, what not to say in moments of distress, in moments when we're going through hard moments in life. And also he leads us into all truth. How much truth? 50%? God, can we negotiate? 80% of truth, I'm gonna live. 20%, I'm gonna do what I want. Is that the Bible? He's gonna lead us in all truth. And we embrace this all truth. God will give us the power to live it out through his Spirit. Amen. In my closing, I wanna share this. We live in a time that we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need it. My brother, my sister, I think we got so sophisticated and so educated throughout the past 50, 40, 60 years of what the Holy Spirit is. Everything that the Holy Spirit does is seized. And look at the results where we are today. It's because somehow we said, Holy Spirit, either you're here or not, nobody's gonna notice anyways. So we're just gonna continue on with what we know to do best. But do you know that he desires to be glorified? He desires to be among us. He desires to be inside of us. He desires to bring honor to the Father. He desires, instead of me, to be him here. And I pray and I hope that I'm speaking on behalf of what the Lord has put on my heart. It'll be a scary moment if I think ever that I can just come and impress you because I became so educated and so knowledgeable that I can just do this on my own. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms lives. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our children, our minds. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that will come and renew the minds of our children. They will not be confused about their sexuality, about their gender. It has to be the power of the Holy Spirit. And it has to be the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us the boldness like he gave to Peter to stand and speak the truth in the midst of this generation and not be afraid. Not be afraid. But for us to stand in truth, in mercy and in love, we must have the experience like the disciples had in the upper room. And at that moment, we can say, with the prophet Joel, that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in the same context, we can also say that God can pour out his Spirit upon every flesh, upon the young and the old. If you're young here, God is not done with you. My prayer for you is that you would get a hold of the prayer closet, that I will get a hold of the prayer closet, that we will come and hunger for the Lord and for the presence of God. There will be not a 2 minutes ritual that we do, as good as that is, but there will be a thirst and hunger in our hearts. One more time, God, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, and God can do that. I'm reminded of the story of Nicky Cruz when he got born again in New York City. And for his safety, David Wilkerson sent him to California to a Bible school. And when he was in that Bible school, he was still doing some trouble. He was still trying to adjust to this Christianity. And it came a moment that he came to the principal's office and says, I'm done with this, I'm leaving. I can't do this anymore. And it came a moment when they came, I believe, in the chapel and they began to pray for him and God filled him with the power of the Holy Spirit. And now his clothes is getting probably close to 90 years old and he's still traveling the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that moment, he always goes back to that moment. If God did not meet me and filled me with his power, I don't know if I would have made it. We need his power. We need his strength. We need his power. Pastor David Wilkerson, this ministry was founded on the supernatural things. And it was not funny stuff, fuzzy stuff that is out there. But it was like Pastor Carter was sharing. The evidence when the Spirit of God moves is transformed lives. And this is what I want to see, transformed lives. And this is where the Teen Challenge, World Challenge, Times Square Church, Summit International School of Ministry, all the ministry that started, it came by supernatural appointments where people had with the Lord, where hands were laid on people and immediately they were freed. I'm desiring to see those moments. I'm not against all the other things that we can get help, but I'm against when we leave the Holy Spirit outside and we rely only on 10 points. Can we do both somehow? Can we rely on the Holy Spirit to free people miraculously? And can we also agree that they need somebody to walk with them, me and you? We need the Holy Spirit. We need Him more than ever before, especially in the day we live in. Our children need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says this in John chapter 7, verse 37 and down. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being, or in different words, out of his heart, will flow rivers of water. And in the context, he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing on the cross, the Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice again. He says, it is finished. No longer there is a division between me and you, but it is finished. All the blessings, all the promises that God has for you, they're open for the children of God. They're open for those that are going to call upon the name of the Lord. And as a result, they shall be saved. They shall be saved. But this morning, I'm crying out as Jesus cried out. I don't know how loud he was and I don't know how quiet he was. And I'm not going to imitate him, but I'm going to be me. And I'm going to cry out that if you are thirsty this morning, if anyone is thirsty this morning, online or in this room, come to him and he will fill your heart with the Holy Spirit. He will fill you with the power that will give you the ability to live in victory over sin. He will give you the power and the ability to walk in victory in this world. He will give you the power to stand for the gospel and to preach the gospel and the kingdom of God. He will give you the power and the unctions of the Holy Spirit to say things and do things that on our own strength, we know that we don't have the power to do. But through His power, hallelujah. Is anyone thirsty this morning? Like I was thirsty when I was a child, when God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I remember that moment walking home. I don't remember walking, like I was flying. I'm telling you. It was such a light feeling. If I can best explain, it was like a feather that has no weight. This is how I felt when God filled me with the Holy Spirit. I came home, I couldn't go to sleep. I was praying and loving on the Lord. Now let me tell you, I want that again. At 37 years old, I did not arrive. I want God to bring me to the same love. I want God to bring me to those places where I'm gonna be hungry for Him, hungry for His righteousness, because blessed are those that thirst for His righteousness, because there is the kingdom of God. My brother and my sister, never think that we arrived, but always let us stay in a place of being hungry for more of God, more of His word, more of His spirit, and live for Him. And He will grant us victory over everything that we face in life, because the Bible calls us that for freedom God has called us to live in. Not to go back under the law, not to go back under the things, but for freedom. And if this is you this morning, would you stand with me? All of us, would we stand please? And I'm gonna cry out. If anyone is thirsty, would you come here? And we're gonna be spending time in prayer. If anyone is thirsty, come to me, the Bible says, and I will give you rest. I will fill your heart with the power of the Holy Spirit, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. And when you have living water, people will want to come to you, because always there will be a freshness to you. Freshness that only can come from Him. Let's spend time in prayer. Father, we come to you. Lord, I deliver this word that truly I was not even fully knowing what all I'm going to be sharing this morning, Lord, because you've been stirring my heart about so many things. But God, do the rest. We are your people. This is your children. And I pray now, oh God, as we come, we are thirsty for you. We are thirsty for you, oh Lord. Fill our hearts. Fill our hearts. Change us, oh God. Transform us. Renew our minds. And you fill us with your power to live a victorious life.